Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sticking around for another 2 hours, we're going to go in-depth Major League Baseball draft here. It's just a couple of weeks, less than 2 weeks away, as a matter of fact, when all 30 teams will pick a whole bunch of new players to come into their organization, and it is the basis, the foundation for every Major League team, even if it doesn't pay immediate dividends. You can see how it's paid off down the line a little bit for a team like the Houston Astros, the best team in baseball, led by a bunch of guys that they drafted over the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years and are playing quite well. Thank you very much. Who's going to be the team that will benefit most? Yeah, we won't know the answer to that question for another 4, 5, 6 years, but we speculate on it ahead of time, and that's why we bring guys like John Manuel, the editor of Baseball America, on to do just that with us. John, Jody Mack here in New York. How are you, bud?
I'm good. Always good to hear your voice, Jody. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure whenever you come on and lend us your insight. The draft this year, from what I'm hearing, reading your stuff, reading other guys' stuff, is a solid draft, a very good draft, not necessarily a superstar top of the draft. 5 or 6 guys could be making the quick jump to the major leagues, but a good depth draft. Agree, disagree? Am I categorizing the draft class before it starts to be called out accurately?
I think that's actually a good characterization, especially that there are 5 or 6 guys at the top that I think everybody likes. I'm not sure that there's a clear-cut number one, but there are 5 or 6 guys who could get picked first overall in this draft. And you'd be like, okay, that makes some sense. And then you have the depth is really on the high school side, so there's risk associated with that depth, but a lot of toolsy high school outfielders, a lot of hard-throwing high school pitchers. Feel that we have that most years, so the better drafts and the more predictable drafts are the ones that have really good depth of college talent, because those guys do move quicker, and we disparage the scouts, spares the quality of the college game a lot. When you look up in the big leagues, there's a lot of guys who played college baseball in the big leagues, so I think if the college class were a little stronger, you'd hear people calling this a good draft, but it's pretty sketchy. There's just really not a lot of separation in those college pitchers or hitters.
Let me ask you about a specific position. Just a couple of years ago, we had the quote-unquote shortstop draft, where a whole bunch of them went right up at the top. Checking your rankings, other people's rankings, other than the kid Royce Lewis, it doesn't look like there's a ton of shortstops that are going to have their name called in the top half of the first round or even in the first round overall. It just that kind of a year, there just aren't that many shortstops, because shortstop is a position where if you're still playing on a high school level, there's a good chance you're either playing shortstop or center field. If you're the best player on your team, you're playing one of those two positions, not as many shortstops this year. Why?
I think if I knew why, I would definitely turn it into something. I'd be working in a draft room instead of writing up reports for Baseball America. But yeah, no, you're right. It's a light shortstop here. I do think the biggest reason is, that shortstop year from 3 years ago, 2 years ago, with Swanson and Bregman, and there were 6 shortstop drafts in the first round. I think they were all college shortstops. I don't know how to say it. It was a fluke.
Okay.
That was a record. That was the most we've ever had. And this is more like in 2008, where we had a lot of college first basemen. And I think that year there were 8 first basemen, like either playing in college as first baseman or were future first basemen, like Pedro Alvarez, Justin Smoke, Yonder Alonso. This draft is similar to that one. Well, Alonso's finally figured it out here 9 years later, but Smoke's been a disappointment. Ike Davis is kind of, is he already out of baseball? I think he might be. David Cooper,
yeah.
Alan Dykstra. That was a lot of guys that didn't work out. This year's draft is similar. We're doing an All-America team for Baseball America on the college side. We could have 7 or 8 guys who are first basemen, a college first baseman on our All-America team. I mean, like, if we had that many spots, there are very many deserving guys. And Brendan McKay at Louisville, who goes first overall, would go either as a left-handed pitcher or as a first baseman. Haven Smith of Virginia has more home runs than he has strikeouts this year. Evan White at Kentucky. So we have so many potential first-round first baseman, that's just not, those guys aren't usually the best athletes. So you prefer it as an industry to have more athletic players like shortstops, because if those guys get bigger and stronger, maybe they move down the defensive spectrum these guys at first base are already kind of far down the defensive spectrum already.
I want to get to McKay in just a second, but one shortstop in particular I want to ask you about. I'm looking at your top prospect list on your site right now, Baseball America. Logan Warmuth, the shortstop from North Carolina. Undrafted out of high school?
Yeah.
How did he just improve by leaps and bounds? Was he a kid in high school that they knew was going to North Carolina, was going to be a tough sign, and no one ever decided to take the shot in the later rounds? How has Logan Warmuth become a guy who's looked at as a potential first-round draft pick when he wasn't good enough to be selected out of high school?
You know, he's a great story. He's from the Orlando area. His dad's a TV anchor, a sports anchor in the Orlando area. And he just played on good travel teams at the Orlando Scorpions, and he played in a good high school. And he played with other players who were just shined brighter. Brendan Rodgers was the third pick of that 2015 draft, also a shortstop. That was a guy that Warmuth, like, had to play behind. Or Forrest Wall, who he, was a high school teammate of his, was a first rounder of the – or supplemental first rounder of the Rockies in 2014. He got $2 million. So Warmuth was around, and he was seen – by scouts who were evaluating those other players. He didn't even play shortstop in high school, Jody. That's the real problem, because Rodgers did. He played left field and second base. So he was all set to go to Stetson, play with his older brother, who's already reached AAA, by the way, as a pitcher. And then one thing led to another, yada, yada, yada. He winds up in North Carolina. He starts at third base the first eight games. The shortstop breaks his leg. Logan takes over. He's never looked back. I do their games on TV. I can tell you Logan Warmuth got great hands. He's got plus arm. He fits at shortstop. He kind of gets a J.J. Hardy comparison from a lot of guys. He's got 10 home runs. He has pull power, but he can use the whole field with two strikes. I'm a Logan Warmuth guy, and he is the best college shortstop. And in the middle of the year, one scout compared him to Brian Dozier, a guy who doesn't know how much power he's got. Dozier was an eighth-round pick as a college shortstop, hit 16 home runs in college, hit 16 home runs in the minor leagues in 2.5 seasons, and now he dropped 42 bombs last year for the Twins. So Logan Warmuth could be an offensive second baseman down the line, or he could be a J.J. Hardy-style, real steady Eddie shortstop. That's why he's going to be a first-rounder.
Very interesting. John Manuel from Baseball America, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, back to Brandon McKay. He's certainly going in the top five. He could go in the top two, or shoot,
could go one.
He may go number one overall. That's still to be determined. I've talked to a couple people who say his future is absolutely with a bat in his hand, and he's going to be I had one guy tell me that he was Votto-like, which I thought was a little bit of an overstatement, but we shall see. And others say, you know, the hit tool is good, but it's not great, and I don't think he's going to be a power-hitting first baseman. That's what you need power. If I were him, I'd tell him I want to pitch when I get into professional baseball, that that's actually his best chance to become a superior major leaguer. Does that handicap a kid when there's a debate? We're now days away from the draft, and people in the industry are still debating whether he's better suited as a player or a pitcher. Is that to his detriment or to his plus?
I think that's a plus for him. You know, for me, it just tells you how he's got baseball athleticism, Jody. You know, I first heard that phrase really with Buster Posey. You know, people were asking why was he the fifth pick of a draft in 2008, and I think part of it was the Rays wanted to save some money, and the other part of it was the whole industry was a little bit light on his athletic ability because he's not twitchy. You know, he's not like, you know, one of these. He's just not a super high twitch athlete. He's not muscular. He's not fast, but he's just so smooth. And that is McKay. He smoothed the plate. His teammates kind of dared him. Hey, why don't you try to hit like Schwarber one day? Do that stance. He did it, and he hit four home runs in a midweek game against Eastern Kentucky. And he got kind of mad that we've written a lot that he's throwing too many cutters, and his fastball velocity was down. So he came out in the ACC tournament popping 94. He seems like he does whatever he sets his mind to do. I think he's a little gassed. I think he's trying to get a little more adrenaline. He hasn't been to Omaha yet with Louisville. They've lost back-to-back years in the Super Regionals. I think he really wants to play in the College World Series. I think Louisville's desperate to get him to the College World Series. They've used him judiciously lately. He only threw 101 pitches yesterday, but he was firmer yesterday at 91-93. Honestly, as a pitcher, he's got kind of like Cliff Lee command and ability to pitch inside. I mean, you saw that up and up close in Philly for years.
Yep.
Didn't Cliff Lee just get in right-hand hitter's kitchen as easily as any left-hander you ever saw?
Yes.
That's That's Brendan McKay as a pitcher with more of a Greg Swindell body. Now, that's not a great comp on a Greg Swindell body, but Swindell was a good pitcher for years, 30 years ago, but maybe you want a little higher ceiling. At the plate, he's looser. He's a little more muscular, and I wouldn't say stiff, but he's not loosey-goosey. He's not one of these loose-arm guys on the mound. He is loose and has handsy looseness with his swing at first base. So he's a legitimate top 10 prospect both ways. Gun to my head, I prefer him at the plate as a hitter, and I think he could get better as a hitter if he just focused on that. Either way, he never does a between starts regimen as a starter that's like a pure starter, you know, routine, and he's never done a pure routine between games as a hitter. He has to divide his time. So the hope is for either team, he gives one up, he gets better at the other.
The most intriguing prospect in this draft is the hard-throwing right-handed kid from California, Hunter Green, yep. Who, again, using baseball terms, he doesn't just hit 100. He lives at 100. He is throwing over 99 miles an hour. Most of the fastballs that he throws, which is very intriguing. But he's a high school kid, and questions abound, and you just don't see right-handed high school pitchers going near the top of the draft. And no one has ever gone number one overall. He'd be the first if that's the case. And he also is a position player, but 99% of those who scout him think he's going as a pitcher, and he'll only go back to playing the field if he needs to, if something happens and he throws out his arm. Who does he comp to? Is there anyone that we've seen in the last 2, 5, 10 years, or is this kid a once-in-a-generational guy?
He could be the latter. He could be once-in-a-generation. You know, the real question for Hunter Green is he doesn't really have a great curveball. And, you know, it depends on which old scout you want to quote. I like to quote Mike Roberts, who's a longtime evaluator for the St. Louis Cardinals. You either spin it or you don't. You don't learn to spin a breaking ball. You either have that wrist and that looseness in your hand and those long fingers and you can spin it, or you can't. It's a feel pitch, and it's very hard to get that feel. He's had a pretty good slider. You can give him an average or above average slider. I've never talked to one evaluator who says he's going to throw a really good curveball. So you have a fastball, slider, changeup guy who might have, like, this side of Oldis Chapman, the best arm on the planet. I mean, you talk to scouts. I mean, he breaks this 20-80 scouting scale. You know, there's that point, mathematically, there's a 0.3% who's off that scale. He's got 0.3%. I mean, he is just such easy, pure arm strength. It's the easiest 100 miles an hour we've ever seen as an amateur. And he's only 17. He's a mature kid. He wants the spotlight. I don't think he seeks it like Bryce Harper, but he does. He's ready for it. You know, that's a comparable charisma and, like, similar age kid who wanted to be a big deal, like Bryce wanted to be a big deal and has become a big deal. So this guy's kind of like that. But I think the breaking ball is the biggest reason why he won't go first overall. I mean, the high school right-hander who should have gone first overall was Josh Beckett, and he threw almost as hard, and he had a hellacious yacker, and, you know, he wound up helping win two teams win World Series. So he was never a true ace in the regular season, but he certainly was in the postseason. That's who this guy, you know, maybe he's somewhat like a Beckett, but he doesn't have that breaking ball. You know, Riley Pint, 2 years ago, the Rockies took him fourth overall, or last year, he threw this hard, but he spun the breaking ball better. So I do think Hunter Green, exceptional. He's a lot like Riley Pint, but Pint, you know, out of Kansas, threw a better breaking ball. If Riley Pint were maybe out of Los Angeles, maybe we would have hyped up Riley Pint a little bit more. But I do like Hunter Green a lot. I do think it's a special arm. It could be a once-in-a-generation arm, but I'm almost as intrigued by his offense. Power-hitting shortstop with a true arm like that, he's not quick, but neither is Corey Seager. To me, he sounds like a right-handed Corey Seager offensively. I mean, that'd be pretty good, man. I'd take that.
Kid's got options. All right, so if the Twins pass on him at one, I'm sure the Padres would like to keep him home in Southern California. If he falls to three, are the Reds going to jump in there in the middle and go, no, wait a minute, we'll take Hunter Green?
You know, the Reds have been pretty consistent that they like McKay and they like Green. I think they like Kyle Wright, the right-hander at Vanderbilt as well, who's kind of like got a little bit, he showed a little bit more velocity than McKay. He's a little safer bet than Green. He kind of like splits the difference between the two guys. he sounded like this. I wouldn't say compromise choice, but, you know, Vanderbilt pitchers, that's a pretty good track record for those guys lately. So those are the top three guys. I think those are the top three guys in some order who will go 1, 2, and 3 with the interlopers, potentially being Royce Lewis, the prep shortstop out of Southern California, who's been a star since he was a sophomore. And then Mackenzie Gore out of North Carolina, Whiteville, Tommy Green's old high school, if you remember Tommy Green from your
sure.
Phillies early 90s days. Mackenzie Gore, I just saw him on Friday. He's kind of a cross between a young Scott Kazmir and a Cole Hamels. He's got a Cole Hamels body, not quite as tall, but very lean, angular, broad shoulders. He's got a mesmerizing high leg kick delivery, high energy, tremendous athlete, spins the heck out of a breaking ball. He is just so much fun to watch. But, I mean, from a 1A high school in the coastal North Carolina, Whiteville, North Carolina. So those are the top five guys. And all those guys are really interesting. Honestly, we're a week and a half out, 8 days out, we still haven't pegged exactly who's going where. And I think how much those players cost really will help determine who goes 1 through 5. And then the real intrigue of the draft might just start with the A's at 6, because it might just be a 5-player draft. You know, and then who do you take at 6?
Everyone else has their work cut out for them. All right, last one. Give me your most underrated guy. Now, this can be someone that's going to go in the middle of the first round that you think should be number 6. All right, not top 5, but the next best player is, and it doesn't look like he's going to, or is a second rounder that you think should be a first, or someone that you're hearing through teams and your contacts and the like, it might be a 5th or a 6th round pick that you can't believe isn't going in the top 2. Who's the most underrated guy? You have a different opinion than what you're hearing elsewhere in the industry.
Yeah, I'll give you a 2-part answer. That's an intriguing question. The first part, like the guy who's like a late first rounder, you know, like where Mike Trout wound up being the 25th pick in the draft because he was harder to scout. Now, there are going to be some of those kind of guys, those high school outfielders who can be hard to see. You don't see him against good velocity. One of those guys, like a Bubba Thompson out of Alabama or a Helio Ramos, I'll say Helio Ramos from Puerto Rico, his brother played. He's got another brother who plays on the national soccer team in Puerto Rico. He might be the guy who like has all the physicality. We've heard some Yasiel Puig comparisons on this guy physically. So I'm eager to see what happens with Helio Ramos. But we may not see him in the big leagues for 3, 4, 5 years. And then like that lower round guy who I'm really intrigued by is a guy at NC State University, Evan Mendoza. And he had 370 last year. His hands really work. He was a high school pitcher. He's got true arm, plus arm at third base. Can really play third base. But he just had draftitis this year. I think he might go in the 5th round. I think everyone around here was waiting for him to get better here in the state of North Carolina, for him to pop. And he never quite popped. And I think he'll pop in pro ball because his hands work. And I think the pressure will finally come off once he gets drafted.
John, we'll be reading you all week and then Monday and Tuesday after the draft. Always great stuff. We appreciate it whenever you come on board. Have a fun 8 days leading up to the big draft come next Monday.
What's so fun about it? Thanks, Jody, man. Thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it.
And you take a big breath thereafter. Enjoy, my friend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.